Hey guys, welcome to this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi. Prezi lets you send digital gift cards from major retailers instantly in just seconds. If you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win a $250 gift card. Permit number LTPM160177.
Massive show for you today, Australia. Scott Dooley with me. Dools, it's huge.
It is massive.
We'll get to the jewel of the crown in just a second. But first of all, American Australia's Improvised Theatre today. We'll also have Ricky Gervais back on the show for the third time this year. A Minority Report from Dools. Comedian Nath Valvo will join us.
But yeah, just tell us what it is. Give us it. Hit me with it.
You know
what are we
it
doing?
Is.
What's up next? What's up next?
In just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, Troy Stories is back. Dools, you and I have been waiting for this for at least a month, haven't we?
This is our Christmas present to ourselves.
It is. Back by popular demand, each day we're bringing back something that has just gone completely nuts on the show and we're giving it another run. Today, it's one of our all-time favourites, it's Troy Stories.
It's time for...
Troy was showing how he could get snot out of his nose with the drill. It peeled the skin from one side up to his ear, right across his nose included, and wrapped it all up on the drill.
Nice brand new slingshot. Let's go with the wrong hand. Straighten my eye. Later.
A Troy Story.
Yes, the Troy Stories are as simple as this. Anything that has been done by Troy... For some reason, Dools and I, we have this theory, don't we, about Troys?
It is. I think there's a greater percentage chance of you crashing a dirt bike in the city if your name is Troy.
100%. 100%. There is a greater use of peroxide bleach on men called Troy than any other name in the universe.
If I see a bloke with sunburn, but a really strong wraparound sunglass tan, I just go, oh, your name's Troy, isn't it?
If I see an eyebrow ring that has been pulled out and now there's a horrible scar from where the eyebrow ring got caught on a Troy
is that
look.
A Troy is that?
Classic
it's
Troy.
So Troy.
Misspelt tattoos, Troy.
Wearing trackies to court, Troy. Now I've got an international Troy story.
God, do it.
So I've been in, I was doing a bit of work in Paris and I was walking through, it's freezing in Paris, right? And I was walking through, I don't know if you know, Cathedral Notre Dame, very beautiful, austere, religious, sacred place.
Right.
And what did I see? Bloke with a bloody Richmond Tigers beanie on. And I've thought, look at this little Aussie. Look at him go across this crowded square where people are looking up. Just with absolute magic in their eyes, hope in their heart, I hear some woman yell out, "Oi, Troy, you want a Coke?" Good on you, Troy. Doing your bit for Australia.
Let me guess, it was probably not even 9 a.m. and he's just gone, you know what? I'll have a can of Coke.
Bloody, over the yard arm somewhere, I should have a bit of Coke.
Yeah, breakfast of champions, a can of Coke. 133353, give us a call with your Troy stories. Very quickly, Dools, I forgot one from my childhood.
This is a nostalgic Troy.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. So some friends of mine and I, we weren't going to go for a swim down the river, and we thought, wouldn't it be great if we went to the local high school and borrowed the fire hose? And when I say borrowed, we did mean to return it. Because they're made out of the canvas kind of, the flat canvas, you know, like a fire hose. So we borrowed that and we took it down to the river and we hung it over a tree and that was going to be our swing out. Then Troy came and everyone was having a great time because, you know, it's canvas and it's flat and it's safe and you don't get rope burn and there's no dramas. You can't have any problems because it's the safest way to do it. Everyone's having a great time. Troy has a go, nuts himself on the hose bit at the end. Only person to swing on the rope who goes, "Oh, I'll put this between my legs." No, you don't, Troy. That's
Come
the whole
on, Troy.
The whole point is
Come
that,
on,
to keep
Troy.
That part away.
Yeah.
No, don't the hoses shouldn't clash, Troy.
Yeah. No.
Phones have already gone nuts. 133353. Get on board with your Troy stories. If you said to me 3 years ago, do you reckon you could get some calls based just entirely around the name Troy? I would have gone, don't know, probably maybe one or two.
Yeah.
We've done this three times. This is actually technically Troy Story 3.
Yeah.
And we are taking your calls on 133353 tell us your Troy stories, because Troy, and for some reason, just attracts trouble.
Like Troy Story 3, I predict I will be in tears at the end of this segment. Because there's always something to do with a pine cone and a V8 supercar, and you never know what's going to happen. But Troy's involved. It's going to end with the trip to the emergency ward.
Always. Chris, tell us your Troy story.
Brother's stepson and three of his mates that all went to school together and have joined up as a band together a couple of years ago, and they're called Coastline. They're all only about 20, 21 years old, but they had a big, they were all good mates with a bloke called Troy when they went to school and had gone right through school with him, but they all had a falling out with him, so they decided they were going to write a song about him, and it was called F Troy say it on air, obviously.
No.
It goes for about 30 seconds, and it was one of the first songs they wrote at the start of their gig career a couple of years ago.
And yet already a classic.
Sounds great.
Within, after the first time they played it, they virtually never got out of a gig without having to play it at the end again. And then after the year of shows, they were playing at the ESPY quite a bit, and they played
People would request a song they'd already heard in the set. They play that song about Troy again.
They tried to stop doing it after the first year, but they only went one or two gigs, and they had to play it again. Nobody would let them out of the place without
popular
them doing
demand.
It.
Chris, the funny thing here, of course, is that the greatest fan of Coastline is actually Troy. That's his favourite song.
Oh, he probably is. I have seen him at a gig,
Troy,
actually.
Down the front with a lighter. Down the front with a lighter. Let's get
to Coastline Tat.
Yeah, spelt wrong. Thanks, Chris. Let's get to Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Your Troy story.
Hi, mate.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Got a Troy story?
Yeah. So my brother's Troy.
Oh, of course.
My older brother, he's like 28, 29.
Yeah.
And he thought people, you know how you have a breath mint, like if you have a beer before you go driving, so, you know, if you get pulled over, you don't register yet. Yeah. So he thought people were having mints, like meat mints.
Troy.
He thought it was called breath mints.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And he was at the pub the other day, and he said this, and we're like, what do you mean? And he goes, like, you know, like spaghetti bowl mints. And we're like, why would people have spaghetti bowl mints, like minced meat, in their car?
Because you're Troy. That's what you're thinking there.
It's Troy. Ryan.
Some classic Troy.
Ryan, your parents obviously loved you and your brother less so because his name's Troy, and so therefore he thinks breath mints is made out of cow.
That's great. Because you know how you always have really good breath after you have a bowl of spaghetti bowl?
Here comes the cops. I'll just have a quick rissole.
He's got that minty fresh burger breath.
That'll throw the cops off the trail. Oh, God, that was awesome. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's get the Ross. Hello, Ross.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. Tell us your Troy story.
We're at a mate's 21st, and my mate Troy comes inside. My mate Troy comes in chuckling away. I'm like, oh, what's going on? He's like, oh, come have a look at this. He's gone out and engraved his name in the golfing green. And I'm like, mate, oh, that's not very cool. Like, you know, that's a lot of time and effort goes into that. 20 minutes later, I happen to go past the same green. It says Troy and Ross.
Oh, no, he's put your name on it as well.
Yeah, and there's not too many Rosses going around either. So, you know, got the blame as well.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though, Ross.
Troy.
It's not a very Ross thing to do, so they probably would have assumed it wasn't you. They would have seen Troy and
got away with it.
Yeah, because, you know, they've used logic, and what they've done is gone, oh, hang on a second, because if it said Glenn and Ross, or Gary and Ross, you'd go, oh, Ross has definitely been a party to this. But then they said the name Troy, and they go, nah, Troy's a dickhead. He's done
classic
Ross's
Troy.
Name.
Classic Troy.
Classic Troy.
It is classic Troy. You're right there, Ross. Yeah, it is classic Troy. Yeah. And I love the way Troy, that's how Troy socializes at a 21st, out in the front, defacing the green. Hey, check this out. It says me name. Good on you, Troy.
I dunned it in grass. That's good, Troy. Let's get to one more Troy story. Hello, Damien.
How you going?
Really good, mate. Tell us your Troy story.
My mate was feeding his dog once and cut his hand with the lid of the dog food.
Oh, yeah, on the tin of the dog can.
Yeah. Severed his tendon.
Oh, Troy.
The the doctors wouldn't amputate because there was a slight chance they could fix it. So after a couple of cans and some Akamal tea, he got a cigar cutter and did it himself.
Wait, he cut his finger off with a cigar cutter in one of the most classic Troy manoeuvres I've ever heard of in my life. Which finger was it?
The middle finger.
The middle finger.
The biggest finger.
That's correct.
Okay.
Troy.
So,
come on, mate.
Troy had every chance of keeping the finger, but then decided to use a cigar cutter to not keep the finger.
That's right. It was annoying him too much, apparently.
That is the most Troy thing I've heard this year, and I think I'm going to give that Troy story.
A lot of Troy.
That's a lot of Troy, and I did like Mince in the car, but that is...
That is unbelievable. Come on, Troy.
I don't even know what to
say. If your name's Troy, never doubt a medical professional. That's the tip.
Guys, thanks for joining us on this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. This will become your festive season lifesaver. It makes it easy to buy for everyone on your list. So with Prezi, what you do, you buy a digital gift card. Major retailers are all there. Meijer, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi and more. So with these digital gift cards, you can have them sent instantly straight to your friend's phone, or you can have them scheduled for later on. Great idea. So when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you might win yourself an extra gift card worth $250. 10 of those to give away. digitalgiftcards.com.au. Permit number LTPM 160-1177.
Special guest, comedian Nath Valvo. Great to have you here, Nath.
Hey, gents. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you,
Thanks
mate.
For having me.
Just very quickly, I want to give your show a bit of a plug. Your show, Happy Idiot, is playing at the Comedy Store in Sydney Saturday night. Tickets are available at comedystore.com.au. If you haven't seen Nath, he is a very, very good stand-up.
Thanks, mate.
Well, yeah, I wasn't hardly going to get you in here and then say he's okay.
He's just all right.
But we're glad you're here, Nath. Yeah, it's about your act.
it was a bit weird why my parents are here. Here. There's a circle of you.
Yeah, okay. This is an intervention.
Have you thought about going back to uni?
I never went in the first place, Dad, so shut up.
Oh, God. Well, what's going on? What's happening?
Well, I've heard that you can't come to my show on Saturday night because why?
Christmas party.
It's the work Christmas party, Merrick. Now, I take care of you.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've bought some tips for you specifically. Actually, anyone listening, it is the Christmas party time of the year. Mm-hmm. Happens last week, this week. I've just got some rules so you don't be a dickhead.
Ooh.
Just to save your skin a little bit.
Okay, where were you 25 years ago?
This is very good advice.
Yeah, and look, some of them might seem like boring, but you know, you've really got to pay attention, Mary, because I get vibes off you that you are someone that has done some things at a Christmas party. And when I say vibes, I mean I've heard.
Yeah. Look, there's been reports, allegations. There was, I mean,
footage
that's been purchased by my management team and then destroyed.
WikiLeaks. So for the first thing I'm going to say is don't bitch about any workmates, Merrick. No bitching. Because
what about
Liam?
He's a tool.
No, that's fine because he's in the room. They're going to be standing behind you. So tip number one for anyone going to a Christmas party, don't.
Okay.
Because I've done that.
Okay.
They were standing behind me.
And what about Leon? He's behind me now. He's a douche. No, he's not.
There's a glass wall between you. It's fine. My second tip for surviving your Christmas party is no name calling. And I mean this in the literal sense. Like, don't try and pick someone's name if you don't know them very well. Because you're going to call Matt Michael or, you know, Cam Chris. And you're going to come across as the arrogant, famous person on air talent.
Yeah, I do that anyway. It's unavoidable.
So I was just going to say, stick with you and mate and sport and buddy and legend.
Keep generic.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that's good.
This one's for everyone. Don't tease the DJ because guaranteed they're related to someone in management.
That's true.
Okay, the DJ is always someone's nephew or bro or cousin who wants to do a big break.
Yeah, and they're 43 and you just go, why are you still playing dance music?
Even when Black Eyed Peas I Got a Feeling comes on for the third time. Just stay away, all right?
Classic Christmas party.
I've got so many. We could just keep going until your show's over.
Let's do that.
Under no circumstances, ask someone when the baby is due, just on that slight chance that she is not pregnant. It is the end of you forever.
I've literally done that. at a Christmas really? Party. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't my Christmas party. It was my ex-girlfriend's Christmas party. And I said something and I said, oh, I was just trying to be nice.
Was it the ex-girlfriend you said it to? And she said, this is over. This is done.
No, it didn't go down well. I wasn't even meant to be there and I was drunk. Anyway.
You yep. gate crushed a Christmas party.
Mate, I was 23 and pretty poor. I was going, I was pretty happy to go to the Christmas party.
You were DJing it, weren't you?
Well, she had a job. Yeah. I didn't have a job, so I didn't have a Christmas party.
So that's a good one. We've moved on from that one. Don't do jokes, Merrick, please, because the joke that you think isn't racist, most likely is.
Okay.
And someone will complain.
I literally heard my producer, Leon, laugh through soundproof glass.
So please take that on board. Will okay. you do that?
Yep.
Now, this is for everyone who works with a gay employee, and I am speaking on behalf of all the gays when I say this. Can you please stop asking the gay guy to start the dance floor? This happens wherever we go. Christmas parties, weddings. It hits 10 o'clock. No one's dancing yet. Who gets the call? The gay guy. Go yeah. on.
You get out there. Start the fire. Yeah. You know how to do it.
They're playing I've Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas again. You love that.
So, you know, stay away from him, please, Merrick.
Yeah, yeah.
But not okay. all the wife of the party.
No, you get not everyone, not everybody who's gay is gay.
Yeah, well, yes. And,
you know, the two yeah. senses. Yeah, did I just do a joke that you just told me not to do
well,
earlier?
Well, that was homophobic, not okay, racist. So okay. that's okay. It's two different ones.
Knew I was offending somebody, though.
Don't twerk, because you just can't. So don't.
I don't have an ass. I have to wear two wallets.
All right. Don't do shots, please.
Ooh.
Don't do shots. Okay. Do you do shots? You're yeah. a shot man.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Old school.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Don't kick on after, ever.
Okay.
Don't. Just go home. Because you're a lingerer. I'm getting vibes that you're a lingerer. You're still there. Like yeah. when the 19 and 20-year-old street team are all hooking up, you're still there.
Yeah.
And no one's impressed.
Don't clap, Liam. Don't clap. Did you see the tools? Why did he clap?
Merrick's tapping his shoulder. Just pulling them apart. Hey, can I get some icy cold cans of Coke? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, this is not the way that I thought. I thought we were going to be talking about Christmas anyway, parties.
The next 35 tips are just don't do pingers on repeat.
Nate Valvo with Scott Dooley and I today.
And now, the Merrick and Australia 2016 Listener Awards.
Yes, the prestigious awards. Joined this afternoon by co-host Scott Dooley and stand-up comedian Nath Valvo. You can go and see him in Sydney at the Comedy Store this weekend. Boys, basically, each day I've picked a category.
Yep.
And found the best listeners and awarded a win up for that. Today, the...
Category?
Category. Thank you.
It's always nice for an audience to know that they're being secretly ranked. I think that's what I like about this segment. That you've been judged this whole year and you had no idea.
Putting you into categories off air. Okay, today's one is, and cop this, is just so Triple M, it's awesome. Best criminal, past, present or future?
That's wow. great.
How do you be a future criminal?
Right. Well, that's a good point, actually. I think you find ways is the answer to that, Nate. Okay.
It's like, no, it's a Christmas tale take on criminality. You there, boy. Go find me the hottest car so we can chop it for parts.
Okay, our first finalist is Brett.
14 years ago, the last time Australia finally won the Bledisloe Cup, I can only ever say to my mates when I tell them that it was due to me running out nude in front of the guy that needed to kick the penalty to win for New Zealand, and he missed it because he saw what I was offering.
I remember that.
Do you?
I remember that on a number of levels. I remember that phone call, and I remember that moment.
Wow. Okay. See, I'm not into sport, but I'm into nude men, so he's got my tick so far. He is winning.
Okay. Next is Jody. Who'd you egg?
My girlfriend lived at Darlinghurst at King's Cross near the Coke sign. And we were sitting out on her veranda having a few beverages, as you do, when we were watching the gutter crawlers in their BMWs, you know, prowling around picking up young girls. So
yes.
started egging them.
Are you? Oh, wow!
Wow.
Now, that's Jody laughing.
I got it.
So she was egging men picking up prostitutes. That's a crime in a little way.
What did she call them?
Gutter crawlers. And you know what? We prefer media identities. So, quite frankly, it's offensive.
What's harder to explain to your wife? Lipstick on the collar or egg on your lapel?
That's very good that Jodie and her girlfriend were sitting on the veranda that they built.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that. Let's get to Ben.
Well, I was a little bit younger. We took a group of blokes overseas. We went to the UK and did a bit of a soccer tour. And while we're in a stop over in Japan, we see the fire brigade doing a bit of a training regime. We saw them up the top of one of the emergency exits on the side of a building, and they had a full life-size dummy. And we thought it'd be hilarious if we ran up the side of the building while they were having a meeting and hoiked it over the top of the building next to where they were having the meeting.
Oh, Ben.
That's a lot of effort.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's criminality, but it's just stupid criminality. It's good.
It's also got a lovely bit of international incident about it,
yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah. But out of our finalists, we've come to one winner, and I've got to say, this guy is an actual crimp, like inside done some time. It's also one of my favourite callers that we've had on the show this year. It's Luke. What's the first thing you do when you get out of the clink?
Went straight to the bottle and got a case of Jim Beam cans. And then went and got charcoal chicken and chips for lunch. Yeah, best thing ever. Decent feed in a case of piss.
He's now a front bencher. That's the good thing.
Scott Dooley co-hosting me this afternoon, joined by comedian Nath Valvo. You can go and see his Edinburgh Festival nominated show, Happy Idiot. And if you're not into Edinburgh, you don't know what that means. Dools, that's kind of a good thing, isn't it? If you get an Edinburgh nomination.
Yep.
Ask me how many I've had.
How many Edinburgh Award nominations have you had, Merrick?
None. So that makes Nathan look. Oh, shit. It's it might be lost, when you've got something to brag
lost
about.
In the mail.
He's at the comedy.
Check your junk folder.
Yeah, it'll be there.
That's how they do those things. They just mail it to you. Yeah. They mail you the nomination.
Hey, Miz, well done. Here's a nomination. The Comedy Store in Sydney, Saturday night. Tickets are available at comedystore.com.au. We were just talking before about the Merrick and Australia finalist, the awards for the year, and we had Best Criminal. Past, present, or future. And the winner was our good friend Luke. What's the first thing you do when you get out of the clink?
Went straight to the bottle and got a case of Jim Beam cans. And then went and got charcoal chicken and chips for lunch. Yeah, it was the best thing ever. Decent feed in a case of piss.
Now, in a change of plan on the show today, we'd like to be reactive.
It's worth it.
Luke has called in to receive his award. Hello, Luke.
Hey, buddy. How you going, mate?
Great, mate.
G'day,
Luke. Great to be back on the show.
Yeah, I had to go away on another holiday for a few months, if you know what I mean.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you go back inside?
Yeah, just got back out 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Luke.
Yeah, had a bit of a drama as we were driving a car with no license and got caught.
Luke. So you're back out, but you're back out in the real world now.
Yeah, mate, back out and working again.
Did you listen to the show when you're in prison?
Yeah, buddy. Yep. Yeah, I even heard the call out when I was inside.
But you couldn't use the phone. And did other people inside jail go, "Hey, is that Luke from D Block? Bloody Luke, heard you on the wireless."
Yeah, that was it.
No, seriously, Luke, do people in prison know about the fact that you had been on the radio and you were like, you know, Luke from prison?
Yep. Yeah, a couple of the boys did.
Yeah, a couple of the boys said, "Can you get this awful show off? I'm being punished enough being in here, Mary."
Yeah, exactly. So, Luke, you're out now. When you got out the last time, because I know that when we spoke, you got out, you went and got yourself some premix cola cans and some...
charcoal chicken.
Some charcoal chicken and chips. Good on you, legend.
That's the one.
Now, when you just got out a couple of weeks ago, what was the first thing you did?
Got a bottle of Wild Turkey Rare Breed and two kebabs, a chicken kebab and a beef kebab. Yeah.
Take that, Pauline Hanson.
He doubled up on a kebab at the start of the night.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know what I like about that, Luke? You've worked at like the real scale ends, like the polar ends. You've just gone turkey, rare breed, the good gear, couple of dirty kebabs.
And you shot yourself in the foot because if you said charcoal chicken again, I was sensing a sponsorship deal for the show next year.
Hey, Luke.
Yeah, mate.
If you go back inside again for any reason, I'm not suggesting you do because don't be encouraging you to don't. But if
I'm not doing that anymore, mate. I've got a family to look after now.
Yeah, good man. But if you do, even just to visit some friends, can you call us from the big house?
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah.
All right, no dramas. Luke, you don't have a tattoo of a teardrop on your eye by any chance, do you?
No, mate, haven't done long enough to get one of them.
You're all right, good, just checking. Just checking, because, you know, you're on the outside now, and this, if this conversation turned a different way, I'd be a little bit more frightened. Luke,
that's it.
Mate, congratulations, mate, on... Congratulations on winning an award and for being out of a prison. Now, what are you having for it's tomorrow night, Friday night? What are you doing to celebrate? What are you having to eat? And what are you having to drink?
More than likely a case of beer and a bottle of Red Bread again.
Yep, consistent.
So you're replacing food with beer.
Yeah,
mate. Have a big feed for lunch and hit straight up to work at 3 o'clock.
All right, Luke. Well, mate, I wish you all the best. Stay on the outside. Keep working hard. Look after your family. And thanks for being a part of the show.
Please, buddy. Oh, happy birthday for the other week too, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Luke,
I was waiting for you to roll up to the party, but you must have been inside, so...
Yeah, I wanted to come to the meat chandelier, but, yeah, I missed out on that. I was spilling.
Stop going to prison, Luke! Normally, we'd be doing the big question, but today we're mixing up and doing this.
Are you a person or are you a cartoon rat that leans on things while flipping a bloody coin? Firstly, we get it. You're unemployed. Or a bike courier.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
Yeah. For people who don't know what this segment is, Duels, you basically pick a minority, a section of society, a portion of society, and you just tee off.
I do. People like rock fishermen, for instance.
No, leave them alone. That's, they're great.
Yeah. They were very loud. Baristas was one.
That's okay. Today...
Special Christmas edition of Minority Report.
Here we go.
People who have Christmas lights outside their house. You know those people that cover their houses with Christmas lights?
Yes.
And look, I know. Just let me tell. I know that it's Christmas and I shouldn't be Grinch and grouchy and mean. But what are you doing? There is only one excuse for having Christmas lights all over your house. It's that you've realized it's December and you haven't even started on your New Year's resolution to increase your carbon footprint. That's the only reason you've got to make. And what better way to increase it than to make your house look like the weirdest, most depressing casino? That'll honor Jesus. That's what he wants. And I like the people that do it just to be in competition with their neighbors. Like, if you're in competition with your neighbors, it's not a competition if there are only losers. Okay? Remember that. This is not a... Because we could all lose. Because you know what we need at the hottest time of the year in the most bushfire-prone country in the world? Fire hazards. That's what we're creaming out for. Yeah, let's get some complex electrical systems set up by an amateur who's had a couple of cans after work. If you do need to send a message through light, get a neon sign that says, "Tis the season to be a dickhead," because that's all you're saying, Noel.
It is very grinchy, but you made some valid points there. Number one, I forgot about the fact that it is an enormous fire hazard in a country where we just constantly have fires. There's fires there. There's always fires. Yeah. And they're just always set up by drunk dads who have always had a few. Oh, just going to put the reindeer up there, spinal injury, and then they move on.
What's 100%. Eggnog? Well, it's not eggnog, it's bourbon and milk, but it's getting the job done. Pass Dad the Allen key.
All right, 133353 for a Minority Report today. Ring up and defend yourselves. If you're somebody who decorates your house with sparkly Christmas lights and decorations...
If you get dressed of a morning and look in the mirror and go, I look just like that Salem Mahaja guy, get changed. Get changed. That's called being an adult.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
Oh, Duels, I'm a bit worried for you in this one. You've teed off on people who decorate their houses with Christmas lights, you know, like heaps of them. Just going on some stuff that we've got on Twitter here. Okay, just the last three comments are... America and Australia, I'm putting up the last few Christmas lights right now, and you've inspired me to crack a can. Well done, Dave Higgins, you're a legend.
I'm not a hero, Merrick, but you know, I do get people to change their lives in a positive way.
Oh, then you've got ship off, you Muppet. You do it for the kids in the area from Bobber.
hey, listen, who was that, Bobber?
Bobber.
Yeah, if I wouldn't be advertising the fact I'm luring children toward my house on the internet there, Bobber. I'd watch that.
And the last one was, what about the solar lights? They're no fire hazard, from Pete. I actually reckon they would be.
They still get hot, don't they?
I don't know.
A solar light expert, but I imagine the bulb gets warm and that would be...
I don't know. If you're drinking out there, it's all a hazard.
This is what it's about. This is democracy, Merrick.
Exactly. Exactly right. This is your ability to respond. We've got Mark. Hello, Mark. Defend yourself.
Hello, Mez. How are you? And F you, Dooley.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's called Christmas not entirely spirit. In the spirit. Everybody should of the have segment. A little bit of it. You've got to have a little bit of Christmas spirit. I don't have a Christmas tree. My Christmas spirit is in the front yard. It's 12 bits of lighting, and what? It's all LED, so there's no fire hazard.
Oh, clever.
How long does it take you to set them up?
Well, I start off sober, and I end up drunk.
Sure. Yeah, okay, so we've established something, Mark. The Dools was right on the mark when he said that everybody who does it is drinking cans.
It goes hand in hand, I think. Yeah, it inspires you.
Mark, so tell us about your setup. How long have you done it for? And give us an idea of the setup.
Well, there's only 12 different strands of lighting. Mm. I've only got a little unit, so 12 is enough. It's not over the top, but there's plenty of it. The whole yard is lit up.
Mate, do you have
I've been doing it for years.
Do you have a centerpiece, Mark? You got one of those,
Because I don't want anything to be. No. It's got to be even.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
So if somebody walks past, they don't concentrate on one thing. They'd look at all the bits.
Yeah, because around the corner
all the different lights.
Around the corner from my joint, Mark, there's a street where they just go nuts for where the whole street does it. And
I know that.
But they've got this massive waving Santa with all the lights, and I just go, dude, that's so much effort to get that bloke up there.
And they always deflate.
Yeah, I don't know if it was worth it, Mark.
That's
thanks.
My knock on the waving Santa.
Yeah. Mark, thanks, Mark, for bringing up and defending yourself. We've got Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Mez, how you going, mate?
Very good. You want to have a crack at Dooley?
Dooley, Dooley, Dooley. Mate, normally I'm right behind you with everything, like when you jump into real estate agents and baristas and all that.
Sure.
And I'm good. But let me ask you a question. Have you got a 2-year-old daughter?
No, I'm touching wood here. No.
No, this is a good thing, right? Because I was not a Christmas-like person at all. I'm not a Christmassy person because of childhood upbringings or is it? But hey, then you go and get yourself a daughter and the look on their little faces when you've got 4,000 different lights all over the house and in the front yard and hanging in the trees and they don't know it's happening because they're off at daycare and they come home and you turn it on, they just melt. They go mental. So that's why I do it. Plus, I got a partner who's kind of into that sort of thing as well.
How long does it take you to set it up?
Well, it can take days. It can take days, but you don't fire it up until it's all done, because you've got like a string of 200 lights and you plug them all together. The best place to put all of your power adapters in the back seat of an old Skyline you got rotting in the front yard, too. That's the best place to put it because it's out of the weather and all the rest. So, yeah, it's good, mate. It's good. So you should you'll be inspired.
No, I think I think you've got me. If I've got kids, I will.
So Jen,
absolutely.
So Jen, you're just saying though, you set up all the lights before you kind of flick the switch.
Yeah, of course.
I could never do that.
You set them all up in the daytime.
I could never do that. I'd set up part of them and then I'd flick the switch. But I am a premature electricator, so
there's nothing better than stumbling around half cut on a hot tile roof setting up Christmas lights.
I've forgotten how safe it was.
I'm all for being half cut on the roof of a house, mate. We were never knocking that. Okay, let's get to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how you going?
You're really good, mate.
All right.
G'day, Matt.
Oh, great to have you on the show, Matty.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I've got over 2,000 plus lights I do up. I've got motifs and moving reindeers, the blow-up bloody Santas, all of that shit, man. The kids, they love it. They absolutely love it.
So when you say you've got motifs, do you do a different theme each year? Like, do you kind of mix it up each year?
No, yes and no. You buy your new ones every year just to add to the collection. So you just get your little Santa ones, your little reindeers, and your Merry Christmas and all of that sort of thing. And you just keep adding to it. You keep adding to it and keep adding to it to the point where you're like, your power bill's going to be the same price as basically what it costs you to run the bloody house for a day.
Exactly. So that's what I want to know is, how much are you into it for hardware at the moment?
How much am I into it? I'm over 600.
Ooh, that's a bit. What about your power bill, Matty? How does that spike out over that period?
Oh, look, it's not too bad. Back in the day when it was the old fairy lights, the old glass fairy lights, when one of them blows, the whole frigging thing goes.
Yeah.
Back in those days, the power bills were were pretty big, but nowadays, the LEDs, they're not too bad.
Can I ask you, Maddie, is there a point where it goes too far, right? Because around the corner from my joint, as I said, there's a street that everyone goes nuts in it, and there's too many themes going on. So they've got Santa up there, right? And Santa's got some elves and some reindeers. He's going, oh, yeah, okay. Then they've got the manger, and there's Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus.
Yeah,
okay.
That's going too far.
Mate, then they got the freaking wise men there as well, frankincense and myrrh. Go, okay, hang on a second. I'm just getting confused. What dimension are
we in?
You've
got the Easter bunny at one stage. It gets too much.
Duels. We've been talking about it for the last week or so, but it's starting to wind up, and tomorrow's the last day of schoolies.
Oh, I know. It seems like just yesterday there was a current affairs story about our schoolies out of control.
Mm-hmm. There was.
And now here we are.
There was. That was actually yesterday and tonight, and there'll be one more tomorrow as well. But for Improvised Theatre Company today, we've had a look at the scenario that probably best reflects my interpretation of schoolies, which is toolies. Trying to get into young persons' nightclubs.
Merrick and Australia's Theatre Company presents Tooley on the Gold Coast tries to enter a nightclub. Naturally, Merrick will play the Tooley and Dools and Leon will play the security guards.
So I saw it at Troy the other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And yep. Check this out. He wants to get a full calf tattoo with Kawasaki on the back.
Oh, that's so Troy.
Classic Troy. I'm like, do it, Troy. You're a dickhead. Do it.
Hey, guys.
Sorry, mate. Schoolies only. Maybe try Melba's up the road.
No, I'm a schoolie.
Yeah. Good on you, mate. And I can do maths at a sixth grade level. Keep walking, pal.
Good one, Chad. Good one.
Thanks. Yeah.
No, seriously, I am.
Yeah, but look, I'm sure you are, but tonight's for school leavers only, so you have to be 18. And to be frank, you look like you're about 43, so...
I'm totes 18. Look, here's my ID.
Yeah. But it says here you're 18. It also says your name's Farouk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Farouk McInerney. Yeah, all right, Farouk. If you're 18, why don't you tell me this? What's the best flavour of Bacardi Breezer?
Watermelon.
He is right. Watermelon is the best.
All right, who's the most talented person in the world?
That dude on YouTube.
Look at you. You got all the bloody answers, don't you, Farouk? All right, Farouk, what about this? You're on Cavill Avenue. You want to get a tattoo. What do you get?
No regrets. Spelled incorrectly.
Chad, tell you what, I reckon he might be a schoolie.
All right, what about this? Your best mate is blind drunk in the surf and being attacked by a shark. What do you do?
Film it on my phone and then put it on Facey.
Yep, that sounds legit.
All right. Yeah, mate, how good Soundgarden?
Oh, man, they're the best. Oh,
yeah, keep walking, Farouk.
The end.
It's Merrick in Australia, and a few months back we were lucky enough to have Ricky Gervais on the show, and he's back for more as he joins me on the phone right now. G'day, Ricky.
How's it going, man?
Very good indeed, mate. David Brent, Life on the Road. It's now out on digital platforms December 7. Last time we chatted, we talked about it for its cinematic release, of which many people have enjoyed in Australia. Now, just in time for a Christmas DVD release. Is that coincidental?
Well, this was because it had been in cinemas and they have to leave it a while so everyone gets paid. but I think it's a good thing because actually what is a coincidence is it's quite a Christmassy film at the end and he sings a Christmas song. So actually it is a really good film to watch on DVD in December.
Don't cry, it's Christmas. Santa's on his way. Got a billion children, he's only got one day. You've got slightly less than that. If I were you, I'd pray.
You're quite well known for doing outtakes and bloopers in your films. Are there any in Life on the Road with David Brent?
There are so many. Honestly, I think there's like an extra 2 hours, some are deleted scenes. There's lots. I mean, the long cut of the film came in 3 hours long, and I knew I'd have to cut it down to 90 minutes.
Because you realised that David Brent wasn't Titanic?
Yeah, exactly. No, just because we got so much stuff. I shoot with two cameras, and we shot all the songs. You know, we've got 15 songs, and then you cut half of them, so it's like a real sort of documentary. If I'd have played 14 songs in that movie, it would be unwatchable. It would be like, you might as well turn on MTV. There'd be no hook, there'd be no story, there'd be no narrative, there's no reason to watch it, you know. After what, it'd be like an extended episode of Glee.
Yeah.
You know, it's a movie. Everyone's got their emotional journey. It's a real movie.
I like how you compare it to Glee, though, Ricky, because it's not exactly like Glee's a kind of gleeful term, and this would be like more. It'd be called morose.
Yeah, glum. This is glum.
The cast of glum.
Yeah, I suppose so. This isn't like a sort of camp knockabout
no.
comedy.
Ricky, out of the original soundtrack that you've got from Life on the Road, there's some cracking songs. Which do you think, in all honesty, and you have to name one, which is most likely going to win you an Oscar for Best Original Song? Is it Thank It's Friday or Don't Make Fun of the Disabled?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Don't Make Fun of the Disabled is Brent thinking that he's trying to do the right thing.
Please don't make fun of the disabled, or you might get fired.
Again, trying to be so politically correct that he gets it all wrong.
Yep.
And it turns out that it's just a warning. You've got to be careful what you say at work. So,
it's so good, Ricky.
It's Friday.
I wake up Sunday feeling Saturday pain. Dry cleaners, 5 white shirts on the road again.
Again, that would be a cracking tune. That's like a Rolling Stones song, but I doubt Mick Jagger ever brought up the fact that he has to do his dry cleaning on a Sunday. It's the fact that he gets bogged down in the admin when he's songwriting.
Look, Ricky, you mentioned, you know, the songs and kind of, you know, falling into that trap of being a David Brent. Last time we spoke, after we had a chat, on the radio show, I did a call out to listeners to ask them if they'd ever had a David Brent moment. Now, I just want to play some audio from a woman called Fiona who called in.
It was my boss, actually. He was a vet, and we used to do these shows that were in schools with live animals. We were doing a presentation for senior political ministers trying to get some sponsorship, and he was doing a speech, and he said, oh, you know, there's nothing better than seeing the thrill of kids when you go into schools, when they're touching things, and, oh, not me.
Oh,
not in a sexual way.
What? Just, how do you feel?
You see, that is lovely because that is a Brent moment. So that's the tip. That is a lovely, typical Brent moment. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to say that, not me. But he sort of panicked. And it's like a war in his head. This popularity thing is like a war going on in his head.
Ricky, hold it right there because I want to chat to you more about touring Australia. Ricky Gervais's film David Brent, Life on the Road, is getting its release on DVD next week, and he joins me now on the phone. Ricky, I know that you've been doing some tours as David Brent. How have they been going in the UK? Are you going to bring them to Australia?
They have been fantastic.
Oh, great.
Honestly, I have a new highlight of my career. We played a couple of nights at Hammersmith Apollo, which is like 3,500 people. The tickets sold out in 9 minutes.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Crazy. Right. And everyone there knew every lyric to every song. And even though it's ironic and I'm in character all the time, I'm David Brent, I defy anyone not to find that an absolute buzz. I wanted to laugh. Honestly, when I came to the bit of Don't Make Fun of the Disabled, when I go, it's basically a head on a pillow, 3,500 people singing along, head on a pillow, head on a pillow. It was like a Queen concert. And it's just so hard not to laugh and jump up and down. But Brent can't really hear the cheers. I mean, I think I broke character a couple of times where I just laughed at them, at the response. Like in Free the Freeway, when I go, I'm going on because my baby's gone. They all shouted, she's dead.
Going on because my baby's gone. She's gone. She's not dead.
3,000 people screaming, she's dead. It's just amazing. And honestly, I got addicted and I put some more gigs in. We got another couple. We've got a couple of arena gigs coming up, one in Brighton and one in Bournemouth. So, you know, it's like huge cabaret. I feel sorry for real rock bands that must be going, hold on, we had to sell our van to get this gig. And this prat, this 55-year-old tampon rep, has got thousands of people screaming. But, yeah, it's really amazing live. I can't wait to do more.
Well, you keep saying that, you know, you keep teasing Australia by saying that you're going to come out here and that you will tour. Are you any closer to coming out here and performing?
Yeah, listen, it is on my bucket list. It's finding that time. Because one thing I can't stand, I don't like travelling much. I can't stand jet lag. So I'm going to travel west all the time. I'm going to go sort of LA, Hawaii, Australia, and then come back the other way. So I just lose a day of my life.
Yep.
But it's my theory that I can get over jet lag by just travelling west.
Yeah, that theory is not real, but I think it's great that you're holding on to it as well. So that's that's not a real theory. I don't think Copernicus came up with just keep travelling west.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just trying to prove that the Earth is spherical.
It's been done. Ricky Gervais, it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you again. David Brent, Life on the Road, is available on digital platforms December 7 and on DVD, which is perfect timing for Christmas, December 14. And the album David Brent and Foregone Conclusion is in stores and on iTunes now. As always, mate, an absolute pleasure.
An absolute pleasure. A big shout out to all my Australian followers on Twitter and Facebook. There's a lot of them. Now they've started sending me the most horrific pictures of spiders. So I thank them for that.
Yeah. Did you see the one the other day? I know this sounds really weird, but I'm like you. I find this stuff fascinating, where a redback spider, which is deadly, then killed a funnel web, which is the most deadly spider in the world. And they're two Australian spiders, and they, for the first time, came together, and one of them said, "You, this is a war. We have to end this right now." It was like a gunfight.
Well, this is I doubt that Marvel are going to miss out on this. So this is probably the new movie, Redback versus Funnelweb.
Yeah.
They've done Batman versus Superman, and they're running out of ideas really quickly.
No, the guys from...
I imagine this is going to be made into a huge blockbuster.
Absolutely. The guys from Sharktopus have already been in contact with Australia. Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I mean, When the day I saw a film called The Human Centipede, I really thought Hollywood was running out of ideas, to be honest.
Listen, mate, it's always a pleasure.
Amazing. Cheers, man.
Thank you so much, Ricky. Take care.
See you soon.
Bye, mate.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
For even more, subscribe to the Merrick and Australia podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app. Triple M.